You're one of our students for Self-Improvement Wednesday. Each week you get to learn something new. And your lesson this week, Racing to Extinction, the Cheetah. Your teacher is Ben Britton, Director of Wild Animal Encounters Foundation. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Richard.
Yeah, the glorious cheetah, but an endangered animal now.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a sad story, I guess, with lots of the big cats, when you look at all the big cats right around the world, with the numbers declining, and cheetahs are no different. You're looking at around under 7,000. The most recent estimates are around 6,700 wild cheetahs remaining, and obviously that's primarily scattered across the different countries throughout Africa. And then you've got a small little population of Asiatic cheetahs. There's only around 50 or 60 of them remaining in Iran.
Is that all?
And that's it. So that's all. And it's like very, very isolated population. So you're going to have no genetic movement in and out there. So a lot of people are doing a lot of work with that particular population to try and see if they can do something to maintain it. Though if you look at Africa and the mosaic of all the countries, the same thing's happening to the African cheetah, where you're getting all these isolated populations. So in, say, southern Africa, you might still have some populations of 1,000 or more in certain countries. Though throughout East Africa and also up in Northern Africa, you've got these isolated populations of cheetahs. And then if you can't rejoin these dots, you're going to have a similar similar thing that's happening over there in Iran.
Yeah, so a kind of genetic bottleneck, really. We're going to get on to some incredible things about the cheetah and just how fast they can move and this glorious machine that they have as a body. But let's talk a little bit more about the range of them. Part of the problem is that they range over a large amount of territory, and that means they are going to have some sort of conflict with farmers.
Yeah, look, especially in countries like Namibia, for example, some of their home ranges can expand over 100,000 kilometres. So you've got these massive, massive areas compared to a lot of other species. And partially that's obviously due to prey density and also the social structure of cheetahs, where they don't have set territories. They've got these home ranges, and the females especially don't have really much of a set home range at all. They'll sort of move around prey-based, and whereas the males move around there in coalitions. And so because they travel over such good distances, there's just not enough protected areas for cheetahs to go, we're going to base ourselves within here. So, of course, then they extend over to communal lands, farmlands, and that's when often they're persecuted by farmers.
Let's talk about this glorious body of theirs. It's an extremely beautiful machine, isn't it?
Yeah, look, everybody knows, you say cheetah, everybody knows what cheetah, that instant image comes, a lot of marketing even use them against where they're racing cars, etc. It takes in less than 3 seconds they can get over 100 kilometres an hour, so incredible speed. And if you look at the body design, as you say, it's thin, it's streamlined. They've got the large nostrils, the enlarged heart, enlarged liver, and that muscular body and that big tail, which actually helps propel them and maintain getting up to those top speeds. And they only keep the top speed over a hunt. Hunt's going to last somewhere between 10 to 60 seconds, very, 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 very short period of time. But the speed at which they can get up to those speeds, a fascinating, and I didn't just test out this theory myself with any of our cheetahs we've got out of the sanctuary, but they say that if you were to take the legs off a cheetah, just by concertining their flexible spine and that pulsating movement of the spine, because the spine is unbelievably flexible, they could still reach speeds of 15 kilometres an hour.
Without legs.
Without legs. Mm. And that's quicker than most walking humans, so that's pretty good.
Here's an amazing little figure. Think of 7 or 8 metres, okay? So 7 or 8 metres, a person is 2 metres high, so 7 or 8 metres, yeah, okay? We've got a few people standing on each other's shoulders. They can cover that in a single stride.
That's in one stride, and you'll find over that stride, at only one point, one paw might touch the ground. And so it's nearly as close as you can get to an animal flying on Earth, as far as if you see a cheetah at top speed. It's one of those amazing sights. If you're ever fortunate enough to go, obviously, across to Africa, or sometimes in a captive situation, they'll set up lures for like greyhound lures to get the cheetahs to get to these top speeds, because that's what they're built for. In captivity, we're actually setting up a conservation breeding program for cheetahs in Sydney. It's going to be the only one of its kind in Sydney. So we're busy bringing cheetahs out from South Africa at the moment out to wild animal encounters. And part of that is you need to keep the animals fit and lean, because that's what they're meant to do. They're not an easy animal to breed in captivity, and they always struggle a bit breeding in captivity. And one of the reasons that is because they're meant to be doing all these things they naturally are designed to do. And if you take that away from them, I guess it's like us as we get older, we get a little bit fat and lazy.
They've got a sort of black and tan colouring in the fur, don't they?
Yeah, and if you actually, not that some of the listeners might get that close, but if you actually part the fur, you'll see that the black spots grow through black dots on the skin of the cat, same as a tiger's stripes.
So if you shaved them, there would be a black spot?
Yeah, those little black spots there. And the black fur is actually a little bit longer and much softer than the tan fur, which is a little bit coarser. And so although looking at the animal, you might not necessarily pick that until you run your hand across it, and that actually helps them, gives them more of a 3D, I guess, image. If you imagine them camouflage or laying in the bush, it breaks up their outline a little bit, which can also help with camouflage.
Mm. They've also got these black tear marks, don't they, in the face?
Yeah, those distinctive marks from the eyes right down to the corner of the mouth, and that sort of, cheetahs are primarily, they'll hunt any time during the day, but they often will base it around morning and afternoon, and that's, they often call them crepuscular, which is an animal that hunts dawn and dusk. But they will hunt during the day, and those little tear marks, like you say, that those black marks run down the face there, it helps them when they're hunting during the day and helps emit light from their eyes. And as you see it often, not so much with football here in Australia, but American footballers will often put the black paint underneath their eyes. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing to try and deflect a little bit of that light from the eyes. And so everything about the cheetah, from the body shape, the small little narrow head, those tear marks, everything's designed for that top speed. They really are a supreme athlete.
Yeah, the terrifying symmetry, to borrow a line from a poem about another animal, I think. But let's talk a bit about the lifestyle, because it's quite different between the genders. The females tend to operate alone, the men in groups.
Yeah, it's if you look at, say, a mother...
Or the males, I should say.
Males. It's, as the female is raising cubs, so the female will give birth to the cubs, and she can give birth to, on average, 4 to 5, up to 8. And when the cubs hit around that 18-month of age mark, mum will sort of have done all her training. She would have caught impalas and caught little gazelles and slightly injured them, and let the cubs practice, if you like, as they're growing up. Around 8 months of age, she goes, okay, kids, time to head out. And the cubs will, she'll actually leave the cubs and abandon the cubs. And that's a mixture of males and females. And then they'll all stick together for around another 6 months. And around 2 years of age, there's something in the female cubs that say, okay, we've had enough now, we're going to go and do it alone. Whereas the brothers will stick together in these coalitions. And I don't know whether it's that big scary world and the boys think we'll stick together, safety in numbers. Though then they'll actually stay in these coalitions often for life. And they'll do all their hunting, running around, trying to find females to mate with, and they'll stay within these coalitions.
And fight with each other over the females?
Usually there's a bit of a hierarchy within that group, that there'll be one male that's maybe slightly dominant over his brothers. But sometimes you'll even find that they'll share mating between females, because it's not like a female goes, that's my male. A female will wander through her home range and she'll mate with any males that she sees fit. And so that's where breeding in captivity, when we were talking before, it's, I guess, been Valentine's Day, being all romantic, etc., that it's all on the female. It's all on the female. And we actually, in captivity, it's interesting, we set up these lovers' lanes, and you'll have all the females in different enclosures in this walkway or runway that goes past the females. And the poor male has to go in there along these corridors, and basically the females either come up, give him a look and think, yeah, you're all right, and they'll start flirting, and if the male flirts back, then you can open up and try to do introductions. But a lot of the times, the females won't give him a look, and he can be doing all he can, strutting as best a cheetah can, going along this lover's lane. If none of the females are interested, then that's it. He doesn't have a say at all. And so, really, it's the male cheetahs have a bit of a tough time of it.
Woman's choice. It's a woman's choice. Hey, Ben, great lesson. Thank you so much, and good luck with the program.
Cheers. Thanks, Richard.
There's Ben Britton. He's director of Wild Animal Encounters, which is establishing the only conservation breeding program for the species in Sydney with six individual cheetahs. You can listen again, of course, to Ben's lesson online at abc.net.au/Sydney. There you'll also find details of how to subscribe to the free Self-Improvement Wednesday podcast, a lesson flitting your way every week. Next week, Elizabeth Ann McGregor, director of the Museum for Contemporary Art, talking about the artist Kadim Ali. That's Self-Improvement next week.